I invite you to take your Bible in hand and turn to Psalm 46. We're going to be reading verse 1 of Psalm 46. If you're using one of the Bibles in the pew, you'll want to turn to page 471. And if you do not own a Bible, we would invite you to accept that Bible in the pew as a gift from Bethany Baptist Church to you this morning. Last year, the deacons and I and Jake were meeting, and we were discussing a book that we had been reading together at that particular point in time. And our discussion turned to God's promises for His people and how important those promises are in us living out the Christian life. And one of our deacons, Mark Boyer, he made a remark, something like this to me. He said, "Ken, maybe you should preach a series on God's promises sometime." And that remark found a lodging place in my mind, and I'm so thankful for it. Today marks the 8th sermon in this series titled Standing on the Promises. Lord willing, if the plan holds, we have one more sermon to go in the series, next Sunday's sermon. If you have been helped by these sermons on God's promises, and I pray you have been greatly helped, first thank the Lord, and then thank Mark Boyer. And he will likely punch me in the arm for saying that. Thus far, we've heard God's promises against the problems of shame, fear, and temptation. Those are the primary big three problems we all face. All of the other problems are in some way connected to shame, fear, and temptation. And then after those big three, we've heard God's promises against disappointment, discouragement, depression, and worry. And today we're going to take up the subject of a promise that we might think Christians ought not experience: the problem of loneliness. I mean, we are in Christ, we are adopted children in the forever family of God. We are members of the body of Christ, the church. Why would we ever feel lonely? But loneliness is a problem that we all face at certain times and seasons in life. Sometimes we might not even realize that loneliness is the problem. It might look like other things. So does God have a word for us, a promise for us when we are feeling lonely? Yes, He does. One of those promises is found in Psalm 46, verse 1. Give your full attention to the reading of God's word. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Let's pray together. God, we thank You. Oh, we thank You for Your word. And we thank You for this particular portion of Your word. How wonderful it is. How necessary and beautiful is this promise that You speak to us in this verse of Your word. And so we ask now that You would bless, God, the preaching of this verse in Your word. I confess and admit that I have nothing to give to help my brothers and sisters except what You give in Your word. And so, God, I pray that You would help me. Your word says that a word fitly spoken, a word spoken at just the right time, is like golden apples in a silver setting. And that's what I'm asking for this sermon to be, for all of us, God, that You would bless it, that it would be fitly spoken at just the right time. I ask it for Your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. This verse contains a promise that if we know it, if we believe it, will arm us against loneliness. This promise is one that will arm us against any number of adversities. This is a promise that will we can put to work for us, that we can stand on against any of the problems that we are considering in this series. This psalm is the one that inspired Martin Luther to write, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amidst the flood of mortal ills prevailing." But today I want us to think about how this verse, this promise, it arms us against the problem of loneliness, if we will stand on the promise. Loneliness is a persistent human problem. That is the reality in this fallen world. Loneliness is one of those mortal ills we encounter in this world. The Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention published an article just this past week that stated this. It said, "This week marks the end of what can be considered the loneliest season of the year. The lonely season unofficially starts around Thanksgiving, extends through the Christmas season, peaks in the cold, dark days of January, and then finishes on Valentine's Day. Unfortunately, for many people, the loneliness they experience continues long after this season has passed." Here are some definitions of the word lonely in the dictionary. Lonely is being without company. It's to be cut off from others. Lonely is a feeling of bleakness or desolation. Loneliness is a feeling of isolation. Loneliness is when your desire or need for relationship is not realized in your actual and immediate relationships. And that isolation, that non-realization of the relationship that you feel that you need, you desire, that's something that can be brought upon you, or it's something that you can bring on yourself. A similar word is the word lonesome, which means to be sad from being alone. You know how I like to refer to songs in some of my sermons. There's so many songs that I could refer to in our culture that speak to this reality. Let's just say Hank Williams made a lot of money on this problem and our experience of it. Here, the dictionary provided a long, long list of synonyms for lonely. I'm just going to give you a few of them. Cheerless, comfortless, depressing, dreary, gloomy, miserable, sullen, wretched. There are at least two types of loneliness. One is called social loneliness, and that's when a person is in fact isolated from others. It's been a persistent human problem in history, but sometimes there are spikes in that problem, and we've recently experienced a spike in it with the social isolation that came with a global pandemic. COVID-19 resulted in a related epidemic of loneliness that increased cases of depression and suicides. That article that I mentioned by the ERLC cited another article published by the Washington Post that reported that today, currently, some 58% of adults in the United States are considered lonely. 58%. Now, I have no way of verifying that report, but I don't doubt it. Loneliness is experienced, felt often by widows and widowers. You know, that desire, that need for relationship is no longer actual and immediate for them. That husband is no longer here. That wife is no longer here. I know after my mother passed away, I watched my dad fight against this problem of loneliness in his life. And I watched him also deal with with other problems that came along with the loneliness, problems of depression and discouragement. I know some of you can relate to what I'm talking about. This loneliness can be felt by orphans who have no mom and dad to watch over them. That can even be felt by us adults, by the way, when our final parent dies. You know, it's like this loss that hits us, that we recognize we can't ever call up mom or dad for counsel again. This loneliness can be sometimes experienced by people who are single, whether he or she desires to be married or not. It's this ache that, you know, others have somebody, but I don't. This loneliness can be experienced by someone who's facing health problems that's resulted in them being homebound. You know, they're no longer able to get out and to be with people the way they once did. I know some of you can relate to that. This loneliness can be experienced when you're separated from loved ones for a season. Yeah, it's often experienced by a person who makes a move to a different place on the map. You know, it's felt by that teenager whose family moves to a new place and she has to start school and new school and no immediate friends. I know some of you can relate to that. This loneliness is experienced by missionaries often. It is a pressing problem for refugees, for people who have been displaced from their homelands to another place that's unfamiliar to them. They don't know the people. They don't know the cultures, the customs of the people around them. Refugees can be very lonely. But social loneliness is not the only type of loneliness. There's another type. It's called emotional loneliness. This is when it's a loneliness that can be experienced even while you're in a crowd of people. It's when there's no real intimate contact with the people you are around. So you might be around people all the time. It's not that you're isolated physically, but you are isolated emotionally. You don't feel like anybody understands you, that anyone can really relate to you. Or perhaps there are people in your life who are keeping you at an emotional distance so that you can't get really close enough to really understand them and to relate to them. This happens in marriages. It happens in marriages when one spouse keeps the other spouse at an emotional distance. When that wife senses that her husband is cold and detached, or the husband senses it from his wife. You don't have to be alone to be lonely. You may have many acquaintances, but no real friends. You might be known. There might be a lot of people who know you, who know about you. You may know a lot of people, but you don't really feel known. This is a persistent problem for pastors, by the way, this problem of loneliness. I'm not saying it's for your pastor, but it's a persistent problem for pastors. Today we grapple with the negative effects of social media as well. Now, social media has many positive effects in which we are able to stay in contact with people who are far away from us and, you know, be able to communicate with them, some form of connection. So please don't hear me say social media is evil. It's not what I'm saying. But there are negative effects of social media. As a matter of fact, evidence has clearly shown that excessive engagement with social media actually increases social isolation. You have this false sense of intimacy with people that you don't really know when you're excessively engaged with social media. You don't get the full picture of the person in social media. You're really just alone with your screen. Online can be very beneficial in helping us to stay connected with somebody who is far away, but online cannot replace offline relationship. And I fear that our society is not finished having to measure the increased cases of depression and suicide that has resulted from excessive use of social media. So there's social loneliness and there's emotional loneliness. Loneliness can be caused by shame. Maybe shame over something that's been done to you, or shame over something you have done so that you keep a distance from others or they from you. Shame can be caused when those you trust desert you at your time of need, or perhaps they're simply not available to you at your time of need. Loneliness can be brought on by yourself. It can be, you just don't put forth the effort to really form and nurture relationships. You can choose to be a recluse. You might say, I'm okay, I don't get lonely. But the reality is, you do. You might not even recognize it at loneliness. You might not recognize that the problems you are facing in your life are related to loneliness. But loneliness is a fact. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:1, whoever isolates himself, seeks his own desire, he breaks out against all judgment. Loneliness began the same time all of our other problems began. Genesis chapter 3, mankind's fall into sin. We were created by God to be relational beings made in His image. We were created, we exist, to be in relationship with God and relationship with one another. And that is shown in the creation account itself, as the Bible says that God made man in His image, male and female, He created them. We were created to be in relation with God and relation with one another. But sin wrecked the relationships were disrupted because of our fall into sin. Adam and Eve were separated from God. They hid from God, separated from Him by their sin. Adam and Eve's relationship with one another was disrupted. Adam blamed Eve for his sin, and then he really blamed God for giving the woman to him. Separation from God and disrupted relationships with one another, all a result of sin. You can be sure that shame, fear, and falling to temptation is at the root of loneliness. So, now we got some kind of understanding of the problem. Let's hurry to hear the promise, okay? In the first half of Psalm 46, verse 1, we hear this. With God's presence, there is protection and power. The Bible says, God is our refuge and strength. Now, we are hearing in these sermons many promises God has given us to arm us against fighting different problems. He has given us many promises, all of them precious and very great. If you were to ask me to summarize all of God's promises, all of God's promises in one promise, here's how I would answer. God said, I will be their God and they will be my people. We find that promise at the beginning of the Bible when God spoke to Abraham. We find that promise at the end of the Bible when Jesus spoke to the Apostle John in Revelation. I will be their God and they will be my people. That is a summary of all of God's promises. And relationship is the subject of that promise. A restored relationship with God, I will be their God. And a repaired relationship with one another. They shall be my people. And that promise finds its fulfillment, finds its yes in the person and work of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus who, the crucified, risen, and reigning Jesus, who restores our relationship with God and who repairs our relationship with one another in the blessed bonds of unity and peace. And that promise, I will be their God and they shall be my people, it's repeated all throughout the Old Testament, fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That promise is the basis for Psalm 46, verse 1. Read the first part of the verse again. God is our refuge and strength. And when we have Almighty God as our God, when we have the Almighty as the God who watches over us and we are His people, then we have His protection and His power. Here's what loneliness does. I'm going to try to connect this now to what we're seeing about loneliness. Loneliness engages your fears. Loneliness, it exposes the fact that you have a lack of defense. You sense that when you are lonely. There's no one for you to rely upon. There's no one you can lean on. There's no one to have your back. Soldiers and police officers, when they are entering into a dangerous situation, oftentimes one will say to the other, there'll be one leading into the dangerous place, and the other one will be behind him, and he'll say, I've got your six. Six, of course, is a 6 o'clock position. So 12 o'clock position on a clock's in front of you, 6 o'clock position's behind you. So when he says, I've got your six, what he's saying is, I'm in your blind spot. I'm right behind you in your blind spot, and I will see that nothing gets to you. When you're lonely, that sense is gone. When you're lonely, the sense of having someone having your back, someone having your six, it's gone. When that husband is absent, when that wife is absent, when there's no friend beside you, you sense a lack of defenses. Engaged fear. That's what loneliness does. Here's what loneliness does. Loneliness exposes your weakness. We are better and stronger together. When God created Adam, what did God say? It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. The fact is, we need one another. We are stronger together. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, Though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. We are better, we are stronger together. When we are lonely, we lose all sense of that strength of togetherness. Weakness exposed. That's loneliness. But when you feel lonely, when you feel exposed and weak, if the Almighty is your God, then you have abiding protection and power. That's what this promise is saying when it says God is our refuge and strength. We see it in the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Joseph was captured, abused, and sold to slave traders by his own brothers. He was carried off to Egypt, a place that he was unfamiliar with. He was there amidst the people he didn't know. He didn't know the customs of the place. He was exposed without anybody watching his back. And he was weak with no one to help him. Talk about loneliness. He was made to be a servant in the house of an Egyptian official. And then that official's wife tempted him. He was falsely accused. He was thrown into prison and he was forgotten. Talk about loneliness. Yet read the account from Genesis 39 and following and see what was true about Joseph's situation step by step by step along the way. You know what statement you'll see repeated again and again and again? but the Lord was with him. And what Joseph found to be true is that when the Lord is with you, you are never alone. God is your refuge and strength. We see it in the life of Elijah when he ran away and isolated himself because his life had been threatened by that wicked Jezebel. And you remember, Elijah wouldn't even let his servant come along with him. He left his servant there at a place, and Elijah went on a little further. And Elijah was so depressed, he wanted to die. He said in 1 Kings 19, he said, "I'm all alone. I alone am left." But God came to him in that chapter with a gentle whisper to say, essentially, "I am with you." We see it in the life of David when he was being hunted by Saul and then later by his own son, both of whom wanted to kill him. Talk about loneliness. I mean, David was a man who was well acquainted with being exposed and weak. We read in many of the Psalms of how David cried out to the Lord, feeling a deep ache of loneliness. Acts Psalm 88 is a really good psalm to read when you're lonely. David says to the Lord in that psalm, even these words, he says, "You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow." But even in that loneliness, David knew he was not alone at all. I love that psalm, by the way, because that's the only psalm that doesn't end on a high note. It actually ends on a low note. It actually ends David still feeling this weight of loneliness, of this forsakenness. And yet the psalm itself is crying out to the God of my salvation. In fact, that's what David says in it. He says, "O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you." What the people of God found to be true in the Old Testament is no less true for the people of God today. When you are lonely, when you feel exposed and weak, if the Almighty is your God, then you have an impenetrable refuge and you have a source of strength without measure. God is your refuge and strength. You are never alone. Not if you belong to God by faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, "There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." And that friend's name is Jesus. And that leads us to the second part of this promise. In the second half of Psalm 46:1, we hear this: "With God's presence, there is immediate and sufficient help." Immediate and sufficient help. The Bible says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Now, there are two ways that Hebrew language in that second statement can be translated. It can be translated "a very present help," which is how most of our translations translate it. A very present help in trouble. It can also be translated "a well-proved help in trouble." One old commentator translated the point as being God is an immediate help in trouble. Another old commentator translated the point as being that God is a sufficient help in trouble. You know what? I like both translations so well, I don't think I'm going to pick between the two. I will learn from both. Our God is a very present, well-proved help in trouble. With God's presence, there is immediate and sufficient help. Remember that loneliness is when your need or desire for relationship is not realized in your actual and immediate relationships, right? That's what we said. But when you are a child of God, even when you feel lonely, Even when you feel like you're all alone, you are never all alone. Your greatest need for relationship has already been met when the God of the universe made you His very own. You are never, ever, ever alone when you're an adopted child of God in His family forever. There's no place that you can go. There's nowhere you can go where God would not be with you. Read Psalm 139 this afternoon, and you'll see that's what David said. No matter where I go, if I go to Sheol, the place of the death, there you are. God, there's nowhere I can go where you would not be. Your greatest need for relationship has been met when you are a child of God. But God will also show Himself to be enough to fulfill your desires. There is no lacking in God. Whatever you think that you need in whatever relationship, God will prove to be enough for you. He knows your every need. He knows your every physical need, your every emotional need, your every spiritual need. And God Almighty can meet your need. Your Father will meet your need. There is no lacking. No lacking in God. You can count on His provision when you're in a relationship with Him. He is an immediate and sufficient help in trouble. And that promise is fulfilled in Jesus. You know, on the night before Jesus was crucified, He told His disciples that He was about to depart from them, and they began to feel the weight of loneliness. They felt exposed, sensed that lack of defense. They felt their weakness. But Jesus comforted them, and He told them that although He was departing, He was not abandoning them. Jesus said to them, He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me." Which was Jesus saying, again, "I am God." This is just astounding. That would have been astounding to hear a man say, "Believe in God, and in the same way that you believe in God, believe in Me." That would be astounding. Jesus was saying, "I'm God. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe." And then Jesus told them, I'm departing, but I'm not going to abandon you. First of all, He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again, and I will take you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I will be your God. You will be My people. And that promise, of course, is for all of us today as well in Christ. But then Jesus said in that same chapter, John 14, He said, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." In Christ, we have the very presence of the living God within us. In the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who is always and forever our comforter, who is always and forever a very present help in the trouble of loneliness. Amen. Jesus has promised, and we read it in Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you are lonely, stand on that promise." If you belong to Him, you are never, never, never alone. We hear that and see it in the life of the Apostle Paul. I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 4. At the end of this last recorded letter by the Apostle Paul, we read some words that express the ache of loneliness. I mean, here was a man who had been faithful. Here was a man who had devoted himself to the spread of the gospel, the planting and strengthening of churches, the training up of others in ministry, and at the end of his life, he's imprisoned in Rome, and he is awaiting execution. And here's what he wrote to young Timothy in his last letter. Start reading with me at verse 9. Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against him. I mean, can you feel the ache? Can you feel the ache of the man's loneliness? He had been faithful, all that faithful work, yet in the end, his friends and his companions deserted him, or they were not available because he himself had sent them off on an errand of gospel ministry. And Paul, he said Luke was with him. Yeah, but at his first defense, he said, no one was with me. I was deserted. Paul was all alone. A faithful missionary, a faithful apostle of the Lord. And he's there at the end of his life, and he's all alone. Do your best to come to me soon. Yet, Paul really was not all alone. His best and most faithful friend never left his side. Keep reading, verse 17. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. Jesus, the friend that sticks closer than a brother, he never left Paul's side. He was right there as an immediate and sufficient help to Paul. And Jesus could sympathize with Paul's loneliness. Jesus could understand. Remember, loneliness sometimes happens because you might be in the midst of a bunch of people, but you don't feel like anybody really understands you, that anybody really relates to you. But Jesus understands. Jesus understands loneliness. On the night before his crucifixion, on the night of his arrest, his closest companions couldn't even stay awake long enough to pray with him at his most desperate time of need. And then at his arrest, they all fled like a covey of quail on a chilly March morning. He was left all alone, and he went to the cross all by himself to bear the wrath of God in our place, to bear our sins, the righteous dying for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, to reconcile our relationship with our Father in heaven. Jesus alone could do that. Jesus bore our griefs, and he carried our sorrows. And when you feel lonely, when you feel exposed and weak, Jesus understands. And with that faithful friend at your side, as your sufficient immediate help, loneliness loses its grip. I want to close with just a couple of action steps for us to take to stand on this promise of God against loneliness. And the first is this: avail yourself of fellowship in the family God has given you. And by family, I mean church. The very last thing I would want you to take away, please do not take away from this sermon the idea that a Christian can combat loneliness by cultivating some kind of individualistic, isolated Jesus and me idea. Please don't take that away from this sermon, because that is not what I'm preaching. The promise is God is our refuge and strength. The Bible says in Psalm 68:6, God settles the solitary in a home. Another translation of that verse is, God sets the lonely in families. Avail yourself of fellowship in the precious family God has given you within the local church. Don't neglect that fellowship. This past Wednesday night at prayer meeting, we studied a small passage of Scripture in Paul's short letter to Philemon. And in that letter, Paul was rejoicing over Philemon's sharing his faith and how that had refreshed the hearts of his brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's what our life together is, beloved. It's sharing our faith together that refreshes hearts that are lonely. Remember, it is the person who isolates himself who breaks out against all sound judgment. It may be that if you pray to God and you say, God, I am so lonely, it may be that God says, well, I've given you a whole congregation of people to be with. Why are you isolating yourself? And that exchange leads us to a second action step. Converse with God. As your pastor, I really do wish that I could be with all of you at every single time of need you face. But my presence, as your pastor, my presence will fail you. I simply cannot be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You will face times when the presence of any brother in Christ or any sister in Christ will fail you. They won't be available. I just immediately thought of what our beloved brother Omer Miller often says. I'm not God. And he's right. We're not God. If you belong to God as your Father, His presence can never fail you. The omnipresent God will be your refuge and strength. He will be an immediate and sufficient help to you in loneliness. Talking to Him is as close as your next prayer. I mean, you've been given the spirit of adoption by whom you can cry out, Abba, Father. Your Father's ear has not gone deaf, and it never will. Loneliness loses its grip when you have a vibrant prayer life. But remember, conversing implies speaking and listening. So you need to hear from God when you're lonely. You need to talk to God with your Bible open so that you might hear Him speak to you. Loneliness will lose its grip when you are conversing with your never-leaving, never-forsaking Lord. An immediate and a sufficient help. God has a strong promise for you when you are feeling lonely. It's a solid rock for you to stand on. And that rock has a name. It's Jesus. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this beautiful and wonderful verse. God, we thank you that this promise, which like all of your promises are fulfilled in Jesus, it reminds us, Jesus, that you will never leave nor forsake your people. That we have a Father in heaven who always, always is watching over us with an open ear for every child's cry and with a strong arm ready to answer for our good. We thank you that because we are in you, Lord Jesus, there is never, ever a place in which we could rightly say, I'm alone. We couldn't say that. We might feel it. We might feel lonely, and we do sometimes. We might feel like we're all alone, but the feelings can't be trusted. The truth is, you are always with us. We thank you for a beautiful verse that reminds us of that. And I pray that this word delivered today would be a source of great strength for me and for all of my brothers and sisters. I pray, God, that in this moment, if there is anyone in this room who doesn't have that relationship with you because they have not submitted their lives and trusted you, Lord Jesus, so that they can be called a child of the living God, I pray that right now, having heard the beautiful promise of your presence that's received by faith, I pray that that person would repent of sin and put their faith in you, Lord Jesus, to be saved. And I ask it for their good and for your glory. Amen.